is a course on words, and we're talking about speaking words of life, and we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. We're going to see an illustration of that in just a minute. Now, Proverbs 12, 18. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Let's focus on that, and we're going to look at an example of that in Scripture. Go ahead and turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, 8 through 37. This is the miracle of the Shunammite's son. Okay, now there came a day when Elijah passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was. As often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Please let us make little walled upper chamber and let us set a bed for him there." So what she was wanting to do was make a place for him to stay. This was a man of God. She recognized him as a man of God, and he was a prophet, and she wanted to make a place for him to stay whenever he passed by. So if we continue down in some of those verses, verse 13, he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you?'" He wanted to bless her. He wanted to do something for her. But she doesn't really give him a response. But Gehazi answered, "Truly, she has no son, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "At this season next year, you shall embrace a son." Verse 17. And the woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elisha had said to her. Let's keep reading, because there's something in here I want you to see. When the child was grown, the day came that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon and then died. That's interesting, isn't it? And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return." And he said, "Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, this is the key, this is what I want you to see here. She said, what did she say with the words of her mouth? "It will be well." This is to her very own husband, the father of the boy that just died. What did she say to him? "It will be well." What was that? It was her faith speaking. She was not saying the way that it currently was. She wasn't walking by sight or the sense realm. She wasn't walking by the current circumstances. She was walking by faith. That she basically knew that if God had given her a son, it certainly wasn't to take him away at this age, and she wasn't willing to accept that. So what did she say with the words of her mouth? "It will be well." Even to her own husband, "It will be well." You want to talk about keeping a consistent confession? That's a consistent confession. That's a really consistent confession. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you." So she goes, and then, listen, she gets up to where Gehazi is, and he notices, "Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?'" And she answered, again, look at what we see, consistent confession. She answered, "It is well." What was she doing here? She was speaking out the desired result. She was not speaking out what she saw. She was not speaking out what she had just experienced. Hey, that boy was sitting in her lap and died, and she says, "It will be well," and it is well. What's her report? "It is well. It is well." A consistent confession. When she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me, and she has not told me." Then she said, "Did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Again, she didn't say anything negative. She didn't speak a negative thing of the condition of her son, did she? She didn't say what had happened. She didn't say with the words of her mouth, "He's dead." son you gave me, she didn't say that. She doesn't. But they can tell that she's her soul's, it's not, she's her issues. There's trouble with her. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. And if anyone salutes you, do not answer him. Basically what he's saying is, don't stop for anything. Go and go fast. And lay my staff on the lad's face. And the mother of the lad said, as the Lord lives, and as you live yourself, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. Then he goes on and he goes into the house. And basically, Elijah has to come up and he lays on the child, and the life is returned to the child. Verse 36, and he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, take up your son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. Wow, talk about a powerful account. Look at that. So in here, in the Old Testament, we've seen two really good examples about our mouth, about speaking. We see Moses was told to speak to the rock, and he hid it instead of speaking to it. And because of that unbelief, he wasn't able to enter the promised land. God wanted the whole congregation to see Moses speak to that rock. He wanted everybody to see. He wanted to make sure everybody was there to see an account of what was to come in the future, which was Mark 11:23, speaking to the mountain, commanding it to go and move into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. And Moses was to illustrate that for us. And here we see a woman, a very positive example of a consistent confession. You know, we've talked about in this class and over these different classes that we've met about being consistent. That we don't say one thing in church and then go home to our spouse and say something completely different. We don't confess prosperity and then sit down to pay the bills and say there isn't enough. That's an inconsistent confession. It's like wavering. We don't want to waver. The blessings are in staying consistent. And oh boy, we can see how she stayed consistent here. But she did not try to handle it all by herself. She did go and get help. But what's interesting, she was very careful with her words. And she got what she said. She said, it is well. And that is what she got. She said, it will be well. And then she said, it is well. And that is what she got. She got exactly what she said. She got the words of her mouth. She got it. Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is counted prudent. Proverbs 10:19, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Was she a wise woman? Yes. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. In Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. Amen. We're going to stop right there. And that's actually one class. And now we're going to go into something a little different. We're going to shift gears. Can you all do that with me? We're still talking about the words of our mouth. We're talking about confession. But I want us to switch now. We saw some real strong examples from the Old Testament. But now I want us to switch and look at confession, or the words of our mouth, from the perspective of what did Jesus say? Because Jesus is our model. What was Jesus speaking? What was Jesus saying? We know that Jesus did a lot of teaching while he was on the earth. There are just great teachings. We know that he was going about doing good. He was healing. We see all of these kinds of accounts. But there's something else that I want to make sure that we don't miss. And that's this. I noticed this as I was studying and preparing for this course. I noticed as I was going through how much Jesus confessed who he was and how much Jesus confessed what his mission was. Now, why is that important? Well, he's God. Well, yeah, he's God. Yeah, he is. But we're still to model after him. We're to imitate his faith. He's got more faith than anybody else that's been on this earth. And we're to imitate his faith. We're to imitate his confession. We're to imitate what he modeled for us. So I want us to go through, and we're just going to look at some scripture. I want you to see how much he talked about who he was. We don't see any wavering with him. We don't ever see that he woke up one morning and said, well, I haven't had my coffee today, you know, and so, you know, I'm just moving slow, and we'll get around to talking to that multitude a little later. And doesn't that sound funny? You know why it sounds funny? Because he never came close to anything like that. Never came close. Well, I'm too tired to go talk to that multitude today. We don't see anything like that. Why? because he wasn't making those kind of confessions. He wasn't saying things like that. What was he saying? So let's go ahead and take a look at what he was saying. Because when we look at his life and what he was doing, what he was saying, we are to model after that. And then what I want us to do is turn that around and apply that to ourselves. That means if it was important for Jesus to be saying who he was that much, it's important for you and I. And just as he had really good things to say about who he was, we have really good things to say about who we are in him. We are to hold fast our confession, Hebrews 4:14. King James says, hold fast our profession. Or we can say this, hold fast our confession. Meaning, hold on to it and say the same thing. Keep saying the same thing. We are to speak out the desired result. Our confessions, the words we say, rule us. Now, we're going to turn to the book of John, and I want us to look at some of this. John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. Okay, the woman says, I know that the Messiah is coming, the one that's called Christ. And when he comes, he will declare all things to us. And Jesus says to her, I who speak to you am he. What was he saying? I am the Messiah. I who speak to you am he. I am the Messiah. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 35. Just look at how much he talks about who he is. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He was the rock, right? The rock that gave living water. The rock that sustained the children of Israel in the desert. And he says here, you come to me and you'll never thirst. He is the rock. And what did he say? I am the bread of life. I am. Notice this too about Jesus. He was often saying, I am. I am. I am. Even when he was going to go do something in the future, he still, well, we'll go to this in a little while, but he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And that's John 11:25. You don't have to turn there. We'll turn there in a few minutes. But he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I find that so interesting. He was declaring what he was going to do in present tense. I am the resurrection and the life. Yet he had not gone to the cross yet, and yet he brought it present tense. Why? Because faith is present tense. And so some of the things that Jesus was saying were still being said in faith. I am the resurrection and the life. Yeah, he was, even though he hadn't done it yet. But he was still confessing it present tense. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, I say that to you because I want you to get a hold of this, and I want you to start speaking out things that you know God's called you to do in your future, and I want you to bring them present tense. I am called to preach the gospel. I am going to fulfill the call of God on my life. I am a minister of the gospel. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I will do the perfect will of God. I always know and do the perfect will of God. I am the righteousness in Christ Jesus. I have been made righteous. I am righteous. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am. I am. And everybody's thinking, well, someday when I get to heaven, I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better. Well, that's wonderful. But these are the things that you have now. You're already a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You already are a royal priesthood. Sometimes I say that because it just makes me feel good. It's true. You might as well speak it out your mouth. I am a royal priesthood. I am an heir. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am made righteous. Jesus was saying it, and he was modeling for us. But he was saying what was true for him. We're to say what's true for us. Who are we in him? That's what's true for us. You know, we are not the Messiah. We are not the resurrection and the life. We're not to say that, but we are to say what is true for us. I am the righteousness of Christ. I am a preacher of the gospel. I lay hands on the sick and they're healed. Is that what the Word of God says? Yeah, it says whosoever. I fit in whosoever. We all fit in whosoever. We're believers. Whosoever lays hands on the sick, they're healed. Praise God. Say it. It's true. Say it. There you go. Start saying these things that are true about yourself. Let's keep going. More about him. I am the bread that came down out of heaven. John 6:41. I am the living bread. Again, I am. I am. John 6:51. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. John 7:29. I am from him, he said, declaring who he was. I am from him, and he sent me. What's he saying with that? He's a sent one. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. I know where I came from and where I'm going. That's a good confession. I know where I came from and where I'm going. John 8:14. I am he who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. John 8:18. I am from above. I am not of this world. John 8:23. I proceeded forth and have come from God. John 8:42. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. There we see it again. Before Abraham was born, I am. Present tense, I am. See the faith in that? I am. You are not what you're going to be. You're it now. You're it now. Get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. And then you'll step into your future a lot faster. You'll step into it a lot faster. You'll move into it a lot faster. I am. I am. I am the door of the sheep, John 10:7. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. I and the Father are one, John 10:30. I am the Son of God, John 10:36. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He that hath seeth me seeth him that sent me, John 14:9. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness, John 14:45-46. And don't forget this key one. I am the resurrection and the life. I am in the Father and the Father in me, John 14:11. I am the true vine, John 15:1. All of those were talking about who he is. They were all present tense. He did not say, I am going to be the resurrection and the life. He said, I am. I am. You get it? There are some things you're called to do. Call them in now. I am a minister of the gospel. And you hold your head up high. I am a minister of the gospel. So then dress like a minister of the gospel. Act like a minister of the gospel, because you are. I am. It's not some future thing. It's not some future thing that's going to be. You are. What he's put in you, those gifts and that call, it's already in you. You are. You are. I am. I am anointed to lead my family. I am anointed to make money. I am an anointed preacher of the gospel. I lay hands on the sick and they're healed. Yeah? Okay, we're getting into a little bit of mission. Now let's look at his mission. All we're doing is staying in one book, the book of John. Now let's look at this. John 6:38. Again, this is going to look more at what he was saying he was here to do. We see this over and over. He was confessing who he was and what he was here to do. That means that's good for you and I to do. Confess who you are and what you're here to do. Okay, John 6:38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Real clear. Real clear. He knew his mission. He was here to do his Father's business. John 6:51 talks about eating his flesh for life. That was a doozy. Eating his flesh for life. So he knew what was going to be required. Those that would eat his flesh would live. That was part of what he was called to do here. Provide a way for man to have eternal life. John 7:16 talks about his teaching. John 8:28. When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. What was he here to do? Nothing of his own, but he was here to speak what the Father taught him. And did he? Oh, yeah, he did. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. Why? For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Now, that's a good confession. That's one of my confessions, that I'm pleasing to God and that I produce a hundredfold fruit and my fruit remains. I've been saying that every day, every day. Pick that up since I've been teaching this class. Why? It's good to remind all of us, doesn't it? John 8:42, but he sent me. Again, he's saying he's a sent one. He was sent with a purpose. John 8:45, I speak the truth. What was his mission? To tell us the truth. John 8:49, I honor my Father. What was he here to do? Bring honor to his Father, glorify his Father. Again, this is his mission. John 9:4, we must work the works of him who sent me. What was he here to do? Do the work of God. John 10:9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. What was he here for? Salvation. John 10:10, I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. What was his mission? To provide life for us. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10:32, I showed you many good works from the Father. John 10:36, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, believe and understand. Now, we're going to get into two really powerful mission statements right here. John 12:27. Now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify thy name. John 16:28. Now, in this statement, you can call it a confession. It's a multiple confession because it covers his life, his incarnation, and his ascension. And in John 16:28, it says, I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. I am leaving the world again and going to the Father. He knew what he was here to do, and he was constantly talking about it. Constantly talking about it. How can we take that and then apply that to ourselves? Well, let's go ahead and start. I'm just going to read some of these for you guys, okay? And just let these soak in you. I am loved. I am a child of God. I am in God's family. Romans 8:14, 16, and 17. I am an heir of God. I am a joint heir with Christ. I confess my relationship with God. I take my place as his child. Acts 17:28. In him I live and move and have my being. That means I have life, I have energy, I have strength to move and to do all that he's called me to do. John 15:5 and 7. I abide in him, I live in him, his word lives in me. These are things we can be saying about ourselves every day. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation, all things are new. Ephesians 2:10. I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I am righteous in Christ. Romans 8:1, I am in Christ now. There is no condemnation about me. 1 Corinthians 1:30, I am wise in Christ. He is my wisdom. He is my righteousness, my sanctification, my redemption. Romans 5:17, I have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I reign as a king in my domain in this life through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I have love to give. I have the God kind of love to give to others. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Love is kind. Therefore, I am patient. I am kind. I do not seek my own. I'm not provoked. I don't take into account a wrong suffered because God's love is in me. You get the idea? Okay, these are all things that we can be saying about us now. If it was important for Jesus to be confessing who he was, I know that he was here on the earth to bear witness of himself, to show people, to show all mankind who he was. But I think that he was getting something out of that too. It kept him on track. He knew what he was here to do because he was constantly speaking it out of his mouth. Do you know that when you're speaking out of your mouth, you don't have a lot of time to think? You don't have a lot of time for the devil's thoughts to be running wild because you're busy speaking out of your mouth. So speak out of your mouth who you are and what you're called to do, who you are and what your mission is. That's what Jesus was doing. And he was teaching. And he was healing, and he was going about doing good. But we do see these two primary areas about his life that we're to model after. We are to be saying not that we're a lowly worm wiggling around on the floor, but that we're a royal priesthood called to preach the gospel. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I'm an ambassador of reconciliation, telling the people that their sins have been forgiven them, that they can have right relationship with God if they'll just turn to Jesus. An ambassador of reconciliation. You're an ambassador to represent God. What a calling. An ambassador to represent God Almighty. And people kind of get all excited about political figures on this earth. You're far superior to any of them. The government of God is far superior to any natural government. The children of God are in a far superior position to any person, no matter how high their position may seem to be, when they're a child of the devil. So when they walk in their nice suits and they look like they're holding this office and that office, you stand there and you hold your head high and you think, I'm a child of the king. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm an heir. I'm an ambassador. I'm an ambassador of reconciliation. I could lay hands on you and you'd be healed. I could preach the gospel to you. I could tell you about Jesus Christ. I came here to tell you the truth and to tell you about the life of God. You can have life. You can have abundant life. That's who you are. They're lucky to have you in their presence because you're light and you're salt and you're truth. And wherever you are, you're protected. That means the people around you are going to have a measure of protection just because you're in their midst. Do you realize that? You're a blessing. You are blessed going in and coming out. Whatever business you work for is blessed because you're there. You're a blessing. You're a blessing. Now, I want to tell you one last interesting story, and then we'll wrap it up. John G. Lake was a missionary to Africa, and he was there at the time where the bubonic plague had broken out. And he was talking about the life of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of the life of Christ had set him free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ had set him free from the law of sin and death. So he was going into areas where there were people not just sick, but dying. And so finally, they finally got some doctors that were brave enough to go because they had been treated. And they went in, they met Lake, and they said, you know, you want some of our preventative measures? And he said, no, I don't need them. And they said, well, what have you been doing to preserve yourself, keep yourself so that you're okay? And he said, he quoted Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. He had so much faith in that scripture that he said that's what kept him safe. That's what kept him from getting the plague. He said, not only that, he said, you can even experiment with me. And he said, why don't you take some foam out of, I guess the lungs would fill up with foam, and then foam would come out the mouth after they had died. And he said, why don't you take some of that foam that comes out of their mouth, because it would stay alive after somebody died for quite a while, apparently. The germs. And he said, why don't you put it in my hand and then put my hand under the microscope and you'll watch them die immediately when they make contact with my hand. Now, that's faith. But what was he doing? He was speaking it out of his mouth. Quoting scripture. And so they took him up on it and they did it and they watched the plague die in his hand under the microscope. What was he doing? Speaking the word. Faith in the word and speaking the word. Speaking the word out of his mouth. This is what will happen. One of those declarations, believing the word and speaking it. Remember we talked about declaring it? This is the way it'll go. This is the way it is. Declaring, that verse is for you. That verse is for me. That's for us. All we have to do is believe it and speak it. Believe it and speak it. So we're going to wrap up, and I want us to wrap up with this in mind. Just realize how important it is for you to be talking about who you are, because it builds up your self-esteem in him. Not just in you, but in who you are in him. The world won't necessarily build you up. It's important for you to build yourself up. It's important for you to be speaking about who you are, what you're called to do, what your purpose is on this earth, and you to be speaking those things out over and over and over, what your mission is, what your assignment is.